Good morning. We'll have an exercise this morning, okay? So look around the room and look at somebody that you love and give them a wave, okay? You see anybody you love? How about everybody? Right? Everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. We have some ladies here from Paris, right? Where are they? Where are they? You want to stand up? They came to church from Paris, France. Isn't that amazing? Thank you so much. Wow. That's great. Finland, France, I don't know. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Okay, our exercise for introducing our theme this morning is love tanks that have a leak. Let's put it here. Love tanks. Okay, love tanks. Does that show up? Not yet. Kazam. Okay, how's it go? Love tanks that have a leak. That have a leak. Is it up there? Not yet. Okay, and then a picture of a tank. You got to follow because you can't see it, right? Is it there? And then the link. Okay, let's go to the Bible verses. They are working on that. Whatever, however that works. Jeremiah 2:13. Can we put that up? Okay, they're working on it. Okay. Yes. Thank you, God. Huh? There it is. Okay, there's a love tank. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and just say, what is a love tank? What is a love tank? All right, do we have a verse, Jeremiah 2:13? My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed them out cisterns. We could say love tanks or tanks. Cisterns are holding a carved out rock in the limestone in Israel. Carved out for holding groundwater. They are tanks, basically, cisterns that hold water. But these tanks have a leak. They are broken cisterns that can hold no water. So my people have done two things. The fountain, or the source of water, there's a flow of water. They have forsaken the source that goes into the tank, and then secondly, they have a tank that has a leak in it. So from there, I want to provoke your imagination and your thinking about your new life in Christ. Because of Christ, we have a new life. We are regenerated. And in our hearts, we have God's love. God gave us himself, loved us, and gave us the Holy Spirit. Really, this fountain is the Holy Spirit. And this tank is you. It's you. You, your heart, your spirit. You have Jesus said, he that comes to me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This is like really the design for this tank, however we want to say, is like it would be flowing out rivers of living water. Out of us, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. But my people have forsaken the fountain or the source of that water. They've forsaken me. They have forsaken me. And then they have their own cistern or tank, but it's broken. Doesn't work. They can't do it. They can't love like I love. They can't serve like I serve. Yes, so that'll be our subject today. Yeah. So I'm glad I'm here at church today. Yeah. I'm glad that I'm with people that they got their leaky buckets. They're leaky buckets. But these people have found the source, and also they have a capacity for love, and they will love because they have a source and this new life that helps us get over ourselves. Because the leak, you know, there are many leaks in this sin nature of ours. We can say, OSN, old sin nature, where I will love you if you will love me. I will give to you and love you, serve you, but on your side of the story, your side of the equation, you have to behave, and so on. So that'll be our message today. Amen. Okay, let's back up from this for a second and just talk a lot about Jesus for a few minutes. Jesus, wow. I was in Florida yesterday, West Palm, where we have a Greater Grace Church. We laughed, we talked. The day before we were in Miami with Pastor Fires. We laughed, we talked, we had raps. We just had a great time. People came from Clearwater and the West Coast, and then a few others from different places. Daryl and Veronica. I saw Leon and Colleen Altoona from St. Lucie, Port St. Lucie. And I just am encouraged. I'm encouraged what God has done for us. I'm encouraged in how we think. I'm encouraged in the content of our lives. Decades later, that we have been given a love tank that doesn't have leaks. It's God's nature that God is love, and we can just keep loving, and we can love. And love covers a multitude of sins. And because if we love, we seek to cover transgression, is a proverb. Love is looking to cover a transgression. Love is seeking healing, and love is just great. So why don't we stop right here, and you have an assignment Sunday morning right now, and that's to think about this picture and a few things we said. And talk to your neighbor about it. You can even go across the room, get up out of your seat, cross over the room, and say, please forgive me. And here's the $100 I owe you. You can do a lot this morning if you want to. So go ahead for a few minutes. Proverbs chapter 1. Thanks, Pastor. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's turn there, please. Years ago, I read this chapter 1 in Proverbs and really got into it. I really It stuck in my spirit, in my heart a lot, and today I just decided to share something about it with you. The whole chapter, Proverbs 1, if you think about what would God say to you when he wants to speak wisdom into you, what would he say to you? What is chapter 1 about? And is chapter 1 a statement about the whole book of Proverbs? I think it is, because it tells us to, and this is a simple breakdown. In the beginning, we see here in chapter 1, verses 1 through to 6, what Proverbs are, the value of concentration, the value of being a student, the need for gaining understanding in life. And unfortunately, we see a lot of living that happens that is painful. A lot of people fall into trouble. The relationships are broken. People have bad habits that they've fallen into, developed, that are being sold on the street or in through the media. Bad habits. Years ago, it used to be smoking cigarettes would be a bad habit. It is, but that would be, like we shouldn't smoke cigarettes. But we are being told by advertising to smoke cigarettes. This is years ago. Then the world said, no, we should change that. It's illegal. There should not be advertising cigarettes. And we should tell people that cigarettes kill and do not smoke. So they did that. Like, very good. Could you do it with other things too? Could you tell people about the other vices? You know, no, we're not doing that. But the cigarettes, we're attacking the cigarettes. So isn't that interesting? They select the things that they attack, right? And at the same time, they select the vices that they promote. And we see a lot of that happening. So how do I know how to live? How do I decide these things? Not because the television is telling me to quit smoking or the advertisement, but because why? Why am I? I want to say, regarding this picture, this one here, the leak that I want to speak about today is really the fear of man, the fear of people, the fear of rejection. I want to put here the word fear. It's amazing how life can be dominated by fear, how much fear can control your life. It's amazing how we can make decisions based on fearing people. Maybe people quit smoking because they're afraid of being rejected by people. Maybe they say, yeah, it's not good for my health, but now they're telling me, and it's on the television, or they're telling me in the media that it is bad. And I don't want to belabor that point. You may disagree with me, but I just want to emphasize something here. In Proverbs chapter 1, we have two fears mentioned. We have in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we have 1:7, fear of the Lord. This is a great great thing in your heart, in your life, that you fear God. You have respect for truth. You realize that you are connected with somebody that is so far beyond us, that is so great. You're connected and respecting him is at the very heart of your life. The new birth gave this to us, a new heart. We have the Spirit of God, and therefore we know something about the holiness of God. When we touch the holiness of God, this is where it's awesome, where we realize the nature of God. Without holiness, God is common. The word is common, God. We swear with the word God. We say the word God so easily. It's just common. It's just God. Yeah, I believe in God. But yeah, I don't know the nature of God, the holiness of God, until Christ comes into my heart. Then he shows us, we touch it, and that gives us joy. The holiness of God gives us liberty, freedom, like we found him. He's God. This is the new birth. This is the key to everything, is love. Because with the holiness is actually love. He loves me, you love, we love God. And this is the love tank that has no end, that doesn't have a leak. It has a gushing river. It has a mind that has no end. It's love that never fails. Let's look at this for a second. If we go to what love is up on the screen, well, here in the middle, we have 8 things that love is. Love is, suffers long, is kind, rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never fails. What about the love tank that has no leak? Like it will never be depleted. There's constantly love coming from God to us, and we loving God constantly. It says never fails. It endures all things. Everything it endures, hopes, all things written in the scripture. You could say hopes all things promised to us, believes all things that are promised to us, and it bears all things in life. Everything in life can be endured. Everything that happens to us, because love is this way. This is God. God is in us. We delight in him. We fear him. The fear or respect of him is the beginning of knowledge, or beginning of wisdom, is another verse. And it is the reason why we are just motoring along, just going on, just trucking on. Just moving on in love, forgiving much, able to serve, not counting the cost, unconditionally living and enduring and giving and forgiving and believing and hoping. What is love? This is amazing, isn't it? If you go to Proverbs 1, and you see a warning from verses 7 to 9. It's like edification. The fear of the Lord is in the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why do they despise it? Because they are hewing out their own tank. They have their own tank. They have their own way. They have their own ideas about things. They believe they can do it. They can live life. All they need is some money, or they need some education, or they need to be good people. They hew out their own tank, and they despise the truth of their own depravity. Nobody tells them that they cannot do this middle thing here. They come up short. Nobody tells them that they are a sinner. That actually, you know what? You don't fear God. You actually fear people. That you don't realize this, but this is the fear of man. You're afraid of being rejected. You're afraid of being ashamed publicly. You're afraid of a public failure because you're afraid of people. You buy those $100 shoes, $160 pair of sport shoes. Because when you go to school, you're afraid that you're not going to be honored. But you want people to know you can afford a $160 pair of sports shoes. That's where you're at. And your love tank has a leak. Because the minute your shoes are taken away from you, your world changes. Because when people reject you, you start getting angry and depressed. Because you can't handle it, because your life is not based on God. It's based on people. You can't be naked like Jesus hanging on a cross. You can't be stripped of your clothes and beaten and mocked and ridiculed and say, I love you. You can't do that. Jesus can do that, but you can't do that. When you're standing in a line at a grocery store and you're looking at everybody and you're kind of evaluating, am I okay? Am I standing in line? Am I okay? How do I compare to the others in the line? You think too much about whether you're okay or not because you have insecurity. Because you don't have what you really need is a spiritual life where you fear God and you build your life on that. So therefore, you are very vulnerable. I'll put here the tank of love and put a little leak here down low and just say that you are very vulnerable in life. Go to Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee. Hey, thanks for listening to me today. I appreciate it. God does too, I think, because we're looking at his word. I want to provoke you in your thinking. I want you to come to Sunday morning church and learn something. I want you to think about this because it's directing us to God. If sinners entice thee, what's another word for entice? Tempt. What? Tempt is a good one. Provoke. How about, I'll put the word entice, I'll put here, bait you. Okay. Bait, how about entice, deceive. Deceive, trick you. If they put a Turkish delight before you. You know, the carrot in front of the horse, you know. If they entice you, if they can offer you a deal, yeah, this is a deal you can't refuse. Look at verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. That sounds like a verse that would belong to a gang in Baltimore City or some other city or country in our world where they hunt for blood and they are hiding in private at night to do something to an innocent person. Well, how would that entice me? All it takes is the fear of man here. Let's just say here, the fear of man. Because the group you're with, you want their acceptance. You belong to the group. I've never been in a group, but they accept me as a group. They accept me. I'm a member of the group. Very vulnerable to evil. Whether it is a gang or if it's a woman or a pile of money in a business deal, whatever it might be, you and I have a sin nature still in us. And I've realized something new. Maybe I'll share it with you. I don't want to go too long today, but I think we were here, so it's great to tell you what I think it's very useful. You have a heart that has a sin nature, and I put a hole in it. This hole, there's like things orbiting in life to fit into that hole in the heart. Do you see that? I hope you can follow the artistic part of it. I need a girlfriend to fit into the hole in my heart. I need a good job. I need a career. I need to work for Microsoft. I need a government job. I need some respect. I need a good job. That's fine, but it's not enough to fit in your heart. Christ fits in your heart. So this is the heart. Your new heart is healthy and satisfied. It doesn't. Christ in you does not sin. Christ in you does not have a leaky love tank. Christ in you is able. Christ in you never fails. He's in you. Christ is in you. Then why do I wake up one morning and this is the heart, the old sin nature? Why does God allow this? If I was to be God's counselor, I would say, God, I got a great idea. You can trust me. I got a great idea. When you get saved, our sin nature is gone. What about that? Then we'd be walking around here without a sin nature. And the testimony of Christ would be so obvious. What about that? What a good idea. Take our sin nature away. And he goes, no. No, my plan is better than yours, so you better sit down and be quiet. So it goes like this. Why? And here's the reasons. That, number one, God teaches me what sin is. He teaches me what is sin while I'm in this life. Well, didn't I know it already? No, I don't think you did. I think now, because of the new birth, you now know what sin is. You're now learning this morning something about the leaky bucket. You're learning now about your ability to fail. My drawing to life without God. We are learning this in our life. Number two, just two things. Number two, I learn grace. I learn who is God by leaving me in this life with a sin nature. I learn what grace is. I learned that God forgives me and forgives me and forgives me, and that He's the God of all grace. So when you find yourself with your sin nature operating, that's a good thing, because now you can say, oh, I know what that is. That's my sin, and I am a sinner. I realize I am a sinner more than ever. I am a sinner. Thank you, God, for teaching me what sin is. I don't accept it. I walk away from it. I live by faith in you, and fill me with your Spirit by your grace. What about that? What do you think? Is that true? It is. So in your life, you will find yourself living and having sinful thoughts, sinful direction. The fear of man is stronger than my fear of God. But the fear of God is a better way of life. To fear God is better. So I have the fear of man, and I recognize it. I'm living in the fear of man. What a cheap life that is. You've got something better for me. It's the fear of God. So I walk by faith in God. It's that simple. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the Spirit. We learn truth. We walk in the fear of God, and He delivers us from the fear of evil. Now, we want to close in a minute here, but you go back to chapter 1, Proverbs 1, and we see this temptation from verses 10 through to verse 19. This is like, we'll put our money together, we will do the evil, we will stay up at night thinking about the evil, we will live this way. And then verse 20, wisdom cries out in the street and says basically, no, turn to me, turn to wisdom. I will show you a better way. Eat in my temple. Come to me. I will pour out my Spirit. Verse 22, I will make mine, verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. My words are being made known to you by my Spirit. So we have two things there in verse 23. It's a phenomenal verse, by the way, this verse 23. Two things He will pour out. He will pour out to you His Spirit, and then His words. It's the same thing Jesus said to the woman at the well, John 4:24. My Father seeks such to worship Him in spirit. Look up at the screen. My Father seeks such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you put the Spirit and the Bible together, you have wisdom working in you. Wisdom is pouring out to you the Spirit and the Word. And this is able to build you up and protect you from the evil that is in the world. And you don't have to fear evil. You fear God, but you don't fear evil. This is chapter 1 in verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. What? The fear of evil. So we have two fears here. We have the fear of God. And then in verse 33, so this is verse 7. Verse 33 is the fear of evil. What is the fear of evil? Many things could be said about it. People are afraid of evil, to be honest. They're afraid of evil. They're afraid of the streets of Baltimore, which, by the way, can be very dangerous. There can be evil in the streets, but are you afraid of it? Yes, I could be afraid. I'm wise. I'm not afraid. I'm wise. But it says you are secure, verse 33. It says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. You'll be safe if you listen to me. God is saying, there will be protection for you. You will dwell safely and will not be made, you'll be quiet and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Isn't that interesting, huh? But that isn't really what I want to say either, because the streets of Baltimore, this is not my message. It's something, you know, that relates. But I think it is more the fear. There is a fear of evil, but really it's the common thing is the fear of man. That's really, really more like where we live every day. I'm afraid of my boss. I'm afraid of school. I'm afraid of what people might say to me. I'm afraid that somebody will embarrass me. I'm afraid I'm living in some kind of feeling of insufficiency or insecurity of some kind. I live like that. I live like that every day. That's like how people live. And so I'm hoping to finish my message, and hopefully this will be good. This is the second slide. Agape love is not, these are also eight things too, yes. Eight things that love is, let's go to look at that. Here's the love is. We see what love is, and then we see what love is not. This is in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. It does not envy. If your love tank, if you envy, your love tank has a leak. That envy is there constantly. It doesn't go away. Why do you envy? You're afraid. What are you afraid of? You're afraid that somebody will have more than you. You're afraid of the person that's so successful or looks very good or has a beautiful family or makes a lot of money, or you're envious of them because it somehow relates to me, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid of like that kind of success, of somebody being better than me, or it's low level, it's low level living. Envy is low level living. Whenever you find it in your heart, realize that's my sin nature. That's not God. God is not envious. God is love, and he does not envy. And he does not make us envy people. If somebody has a beautiful farm and you're driving by it, you just say, wow, thank God, look at that farm. That's a beautiful place. What a great job. I'm so happy they own it and I don't. But I can look at it. That's enough for me. Thank you, God. I can look at it. I've got eyes. Thank you for my eyes. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for those people. May God bless them. There's not a place for envy in you. That cannot happen. When you see it, admit it. That's sinful. That's not God. That's not my life. That will cheat me. That's a leak in my tank. Next thing, vaunting not itself, we promoting ourself. One is internal, the one is external, is not puffed up. These are the two similar phrases. Vaunting yourself is like an outward show. Puffing up yourself, like inside. Like you can do both. You can promote yourself on the outside, but you can also promote yourself on the inside. You don't need to promote yourself. Love is in you. You have God. You don't care about that. You don't have to worry about it. Hey, have you ever noticed how many people buy clothes? How many clothes stores are there around? How many clothes stores are in the mall? Why do we buy clothes? Why do we buy clothes? Why are clothes so important to people? Why is jewelry so important to some people? Why are cosmetics and our hair and our jewelry and everything, why is it so important? I'll tell you why. We are made to be honored. Let's go back to this. This one. This person is made in the image of God, and they're made to be honored. They want the honor. Another word is glory. They want some glory. They want some honor, some beauty. They want some kind of feeling of respect inside. Why does a little boy put on a little police uniform, you know, and he's there, or cowboy with the 2 6 guns and a hat and a badge, a sheriff? Why are we made this way? Or a little girl with a doll in a dollhouse. Why are we made this way? Because we are made for this. We are made to be loved. We're made to be recognized. We're made to be honored. But the sad thing is that our sin nature has removed God. So we look for glory from a uniform or a badge, or glory from people not saying anything bad about us. And we look for the glory and the respect from people and from society, and we're so limited and so crippled. We have such a big leak in our tank that we cannot love. We will only love to a point. And the minute you hurt me, the minute you touch me, the minute you rip my badge away from me, the minute you dirty my uniform, the minute you don't give me the clothes I need or the respect I'm looking for, then you're going to find a very nasty person. But when Jesus had it stripped from him, his clothes were stripped, his dignity was stripped, he was beaten and mocked and ridiculed, he was love. He was love. And there wasn't any leak there. He could love and love and love and love and never stop. He was love. He had the mind of love. And so do you. You and I are part of a church that learns love and what love is and what love is not. And that's a great big message for us to chew on today. Man, that is good. I'll tell you. Let's work on this fear of God. Let's work on that in life. And maybe when I see myself gravitating to my self-life and what it is that I'm looking for me, maybe it's a good little message for me to go before God and admit it. Say, Lord, I am really coming up short. Teach me love. I want to learn love. I want to fear you and respect you. Teach me. You don't have to do it my way. It's your way. I want it your way, and I want to learn what love is. Boy, that'll be amazing. Yeah. I'm a child, a little crybaby, and I realize that in my sin nature. And I know that you can help me with this. I'm only a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm only teaching you. I'm a teacher. Do I do this? And no. Yes and no. Who are you, Pastor? It's like, believe me, I'm with you in this. I don't know what, I know what I'm saying. I believe in what we are saying and what we're teaching. But I'm also just saying we're all on a journey. And I'm bringing out a point. If you do it your way, you're going to have a leak in your love tank. You're going to come up short. And you're going to go, what happened? And God will say, hello. I'll tell you, I'll take care of it. You know, I'll teach you. Amen. Amen. Okay, that's it. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, provoke us in love and help us understand it. Yeah, love in everything. Maybe we need to get alone sometimes and get on our knees and just seek you and say, God, please fill me with your spirit and teach me this love. Loving with my words, loving with my attitude, loving when I'm driving the car by myself, loving when I'm at the breakfast table, loving on a Friday night, love on a Saturday, love in a trial, love in the good times. Lord, teach us this in Jesus' name. And anyone listening, we want to give you an invitation to come to Christ. Come to Christ. There's always somebody listening who is right at that door, and they say, okay, yeah, I want Jesus in my life. Would you just say to Jesus, yes to him. Yes, Jesus, I trust you. If you said that prayer, come and see us. If you said the prayer, tell somebody, I've said the prayer. Say, I'm a believer in Christ. Say that right away. Yes, say yeah. Yeah, confess him before men. In Jesus' name. And then as we sing in the closing song, the pastors want to come down front. Come on down. And then if you have a prayer request or a need or you need to talk to somebody, feel free to come down during the song.